Well, good morning. I need to start by apologising because I am not Astrid. And if you've been checking your bulletin, you'll know that Astrid was supposed to be preaching this morning. In fact, Astrid has prepared the sermon this morning. I'm bringing her apologies. We got a call yesterday afternoon from Astrid's brother to say that her mum was being taken urgently into hospital. And so Astrid has gone over to Suffolk to be with her family. Please do hold them in prayer. Astrid's mum has had cancer in remission for longer than I've known her, actually, a very, very long time. But she was taken into hospital yesterday with some quite concerning symptoms. And so Astrid's probably going to be over there for a few days with them. Please do hold them all in prayer. And I will do my best to deliver Astrid's sermon. I love Astrid's preaching, but I think you'll agree she and I probably preach very differently, and this would be delivered far better by her than it will by me, but I will do my best. I haven't had the opportunity to change it, so when I say I, you need to try and hear Astrid's voice, not my voice. And if I end up telling, I don't know whether she's got stories about me, I don't think she has, but they will be what she wrote, not my voice. So we're beginning a new series for the new term. Prayer is what keeps our relationship with God alive, and it's what keeps it fresh. But a big part of prayer is hearing back from God, and how do we go about hearing from God? Pete Gregg, who you may well have heard of, if you were here 3 or 4 years ago, we preached a series that worked through his book on prayer. And he's a very trusted voice on prayer and author on prayer. And he's written a new book that addresses this question of how we try to hear God speaking to us. And I would highly recommend it. It's written, in his words, as a book for ordinary people, and to help us to hear from God. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to be preaching through some of the things that Pete Gregg teaches in this book, How to Hear God. And we're going to explore the way Jesus interacted with his friends, particularly in the story where he met some of his friends on the road to Emmaus, and learning from them how we can discern God's word and his whisper in the wilderness of our world today. We've called the series Susurration. Well, actually, I was corrected by one of our young people just before the service. I always thought it was susurration. I'm told it's susurration, but it's a word that means whisper. And often God's voice seems more like a whisper than a shout. And so we've called the series that. And for those of you that are in small groups, along with this sermon series, we're going to be producing notes to go to small groups if you want to discuss what's spoken about on a Sunday in small group the following week. There'll be notes each week that you can use there if you choose to. Some of you will know that last weekend I, Astrid, was part of a volunteer team up at the Leeds Music Festival. It was a load of fun in many ways, but one of the things that I struggled with at times was hearing what people were saying. It was noisy, and sometimes people spoke very quietly. Other people had really strong regional accents. Not hearing and not always understanding what was being said made it difficult to respond appropriately. And asking people to keep repeating what they'd said kind of killed the flow of conversation. The problem with either not hearing or understanding is that it makes it hard to build relationship. And the Bible tells us that we're created to enjoy a real conversational relationship with God. But hearing his voice can be hard work, can be a struggle, and it can take time to attune ourselves to his voice. So let's have a look at how Jesus interacted with a couple of people on the road to Emmaus and explore what we can learn from that. And I'm going to read to you from Luke 24. We're going to sort of dip in and out of the passage, so you might want to keep a finger in it. I'm going to read a bit, speak a bit, and then come back to it. But we're in Luke 24, starting to read at verse 13. If you've got one of the red Bibles from the back, they're up there on both sides if you want to grab one, and it's on page 1061. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" Let's just pause there and imagine ourselves into this story. It's late in the afternoon, the sun is sinking, and you're talking about the horrible things that have happened in Jerusalem in the last few days. Jesus has been crucified. But his body wasn't where it should be, and the women who found his body missing were told by angels that he was alive. You don't really know what to make of any of this. And your sorrow shows in the heaviness of your footsteps. Aware of someone catching you up, you lower your voices, expecting the stranger to pass by with the usual pleasantries when you meet someone on the road. But instead, they draw level and they slow down and fall in with your pace. They seem to want to talk. "What are you discussing as you walk along?" they ask. You're surprised. Surely everyone knows what's happened in Jerusalem. "Nevertheless," you reply. They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But they didn't see Jesus." And the stranger is quiet for a moment. He seems to be reflecting on what you've just said, but he's neither distressed or impressed or surprised. He even seems to stifle a laugh. Finally, he looks up at the sky and with a long sigh, he says, "How foolish you are. And how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And you know the stories of Abraham and Moses, but you've never heard them spoken of in this way. So much insight. You're so captivated by his commentary as you walk the 2-hour journey to Emmaus. Before you know it, the sun has set and dusk is falling fast and you're home. And continuing to read, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day's almost over." So he went to stay with them. Your guest's feet are washed first, and after they're clean, he looks into the servant's face, expressing his gratitude. Unusual for such a common everyday practice. The smell of fresh bread fills the house. The lamps flicker and decent wine is waiting. You move to the table, but before you can bless the food in the usual way, your guest takes charge. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Your heart just seems to explode. You're enthralled by what your guest shared on the journey, but now you're consumed. You have seen Jesus. You're hosting him in your own home. You are more awake, more amazed, more alive than you've ever been before. Even though it's night, you can't wait until the morning, so out you go. They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And so in this story, there are probably five different examples of the way that God communicates with us. It's not an exhaustive list. Obviously, he talks to us in other ways as well. But here are five ways that we see in that short passage. He speaks to us conversationally. As they talked and discussed these things, it says in verse 15, God was speaking through that. He spoke exegetically when he explained all the scriptures concerning himself. He spoke through the Bible in verse 27. He spoke sacramentally. That's not a word we use here very often, is it? When he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and began to give it to them in verse 30. God was speaking through the sacrament of communion, taking bread and, well, wasn't communion to them, but when we do it, it's communion. He spoke prophetically in verse 31 when it talks about their eyes were opened. Suddenly they saw something that they hadn't seen previously. And he spoke inwardly when he spoke directly into their hearts. And in verse 32, it talks about their hearts burning as he spoke to them. So as we start teaching a series on hearing God, there are a couple of important things that this story helps us with. The first is to recognise that there are many ways of hearing God. And the second is that ultimately the way God communicates with us is through Jesus Christ himself. God didn't send a book to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He didn't send an angelic messenger to help the disciples on the road to Emmaus. He came in person and he met with them. And this personal encounter with Jesus is essential if we want to hear from God. Whether we have a dramatic Damascus Road experience like the Apostle Paul, who saw blinding lights and heard a loud voice, or whether we meet Jesus slowly and quietly and kind of incognito on the road to Emmaus through friendship and through the Bible and through conversation. Hearing God begins and ends with meeting Jesus. And for us to hear God regularly, we need to be pursuing our relationship with Jesus. To keep on meeting him with him so that we can develop hearing God's voice in the conversational way experienced by those who walked with Jesus. Sorry, forgive me. We need to keep on meeting with him so that we can develop the ability to hear God's voice in the conversational way that those people on the road to Emmaus with Jesus experienced. And Jesus tells us in John chapter 10 that my sheep recognize my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so hearing God speak should be the most natural thing in the world. But if we're honest, in practice, it often feels much harder, doesn't it? In the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, the writer instructs us, saying, let's strip off anything that slows down or holds us back, and especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. And let's run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Keep your eyes on Jesus, our leader and instructor. And in other translations, it talks about Jesus being the author and perfecter of our faith. So what are some of the things that get in the way of us hearing God through Jesus? Well, our sin will impact our relationship with God. If we're pursuing an ungodly lifestyle, it will get in the way of hearing from him. And there are other barriers too. Maybe we feel like or think that we're not worthy of that attention from God. And perhaps we've got experiences that have compounded that. We pray and we don't seem to get the response that we were looking for when we prayed, or we read the Bible and it's difficult to understand what we read in its pages, and it leaves us with that feeling that maybe I'm just not worthy of God speaking to me. Perhaps we hear other people talking about hearing God speak, and it almost leaves us feeling like God talks to other people that way, but that it's not going to happen to me. God's not going to do that for me. Or maybe we're simply not yet that familiar with the voice of God, and so we rely too much on our own feelings. When we feel calm and peaceful, that must be God. And when we feel anxious, that must not be God. But in my experience, it often tends to be the other way around. When God invites us to something new, to some new adventure in living with him, it often causes initially a panic because he's taking us into the unknown. And so I want to suggest four very practical things we can do if we want to grow in our ability to hear God. Firstly, read our Bibles intentionally, looking to encounter Jesus as we read, so that we become familiar with the purposes and the personality of Jesus. Spend enough time in the Gospels to watch the way Jesus lived and to copy him. Secondly, hang around places where you can practice hearing from God in a safe space. I can't recommend highly enough our monthly immerse service. For that reason, because it gives us a safe space where we can listen to God together. And that's happening this evening, folks. So do join us this evening if you're at all able. Thirdly, listen slowly. God isn't always in a hurry to speak. And sometimes we hear stories of how he's spoken to other people, and we assume that those things have happened in a very short space of time, but sometimes there are months of waiting in the middle of those stories, in between the dramatic moments when God actually speaks and we know that it's him. God's not always in the hurry that we are. And so he's inclined to speak to those who show themselves to be hungry enough to keep listening and to keep looking for what he's saying. And fourthly, get involved in those things where you believe you might see and hear God at work. And we're all different. So something like being at Leeds Festival and being a festival angel or becoming a street pastor might not be everyone's thing. But my motivation for getting involved in such activities is wrapped up in my belief that where there are troubled people, that's where Jesus is. It was one of the things that Jesus was actually regularly criticized for. And he told his critics that he didn't come for those who were spiritually healthy, but for those who were sick. Where does God want us to position ourselves so that he can impact our faith and help us to tune in our spiritual ears to hear his voice? On 15 separate occasions, Jesus talks to his listeners about having ears to hear and encourages and urges the people listening to him to have ears to hear. Presumably he did that because it was perfectly possible to be standing in a crowd, staring at Jesus Christ himself, listening to his words, but missing his meaning. Might we be capable of the same? Do we read our Bibles but fail to ask how Jesus wants us to put into practice what we've read? Do we look for comfort and safety in our Sunday worship rather than ask God to take us into continually more intimate places with himself? Do we avoid people whose issues and problems are so great that they make us feel uncomfortable and beyond the scope of our understanding or ability to help? We need to find our ears so that we can become more alive than we've ever been before. More alive to who he's made us to be. More alive to the depth and breadth and height of his love. More alive to the wisdom and power of the things that he wants to say to and through each of us. Let's pray together, shall we? Let's pray. As we begin this new series and take the next few weeks to really focus on developing our ability to hear God's voice, if you're able, and if it's something that you want to say to God, yes, I want that, would you stand with me as we pray, please? Lord, we're standing because we want to follow you with all our hearts. We want to pursue you and take the time to learn to hear and recognize your voice. We want to be people that seek your face. We want to be people that seek your words. So Lord, as each of us stands before you, would you send your spirit into us and would you give us ears to hear what you are saying, even when those things are difficult for us? Would you increase our willingness to wait when we're longing to hear and it takes longer than we would like? Lord, would you make us single-minded and wholehearted in our pursuit of you? Lord, we repent of those areas where we have followed after you half-heartedly and still expected that you might speak to us or through us. Lord, would you do what it takes in me, in us, to renew in us an all-consuming passion for you. Lord, we know that you speak to those whose hearts are set on you, and we want that to be a characteristic of us as a family of your people, that we are wholeheartedly seeking after you. So, Lord Jesus, would you open our eyes on the inside to see you more clearly. Holy Spirit, would you soften our hearts to receive more of your presence, more of your filling, and to hear more of your whisper. And Father God, would you grant us the faith to believe that when we pray in this way and draw near to you, we will hear from you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.